Hey, welcome back to another episode of Eat the Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Panda Paws, and thanks for joining me. This week, I'm joined by an incredible artist, Cloudmaster Price, who I've had the chance to work with before and I'm a big fan of. We talk about some hard-hitting topics in the industry and how we got into it in the first place. He's got an awesome mind and a great perspective, and you're really going to love what he has to say. I've just dropped a new single for Halloween. It's only available on my website, but I want you to have it absolutely free. So head over to panapawsmusic.com and grab your free copy. And if you want, you can check out a live video of that song performed at my favorite venue, Crowbar, on my Facebook, facebook.com/panapawsmusic, or Instagram at pandapawsband. Speaking of Crowbar, our first video episode ever is going to appear in the next couple weeks. It's going to be with Tom DeGeorge, the co-owner of Crowbar, and we're going to talk about the current state of our independent music venues and why it's so important that we save them, and most importantly, how you can do that. So make sure to sign up for a Panda Propaganda newsletter on my website so you can get notified about that and keep up the latest and greatest. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy this week's episode. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Eat the Artist. Thank you so much for joining us and sticking around for our little hiatus, but it's glad to be back. Super excited about this episode. I have a super talented artist on that I've had the privilege of working together on a couple things and a couple things still to come, too. So I'm very excited. We have Cloud with us, Cloudmaster Price. How are you, man?
Yeah, I am here, man. Just another time and another day. I am here and feeling great.
Awesome. Glad to hear it, man. And thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. So,
no problem, man.
Yeah. How's life? How's life been treating you during this pandemic, man? This is crazy. Especially, in terms of your plans as an artist. How's life been treating you?
I mean, I feel like it could be, it's one of those situations where it could be worse, but then also, what could it be without it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we didn't have this thing happening, some people probably wouldn't have been pushed to think outside the box and to try and find new ways of connecting with the people they want to connect with and making those sounds they want to connect with. Some of it's really challenging artists to really say, do you really want to do this? So it's like, it's bad, but it's good. It's like a double-edged sword. Because at one point, it's just like, dang, this is just too tense. But at the same time, that's what being an artist is, tense.
That's right.
To a certain extent. So it's like, yeah, I can see it on the hand of, like, definitely having a bunch of negative connotations to it. But at the same time, it's a big survival of the fittest. It's a big artist-wise, I'm talking. It's just, if you wanna outlast it, you're going to have to be here when it's here. You feel me? And outlast this. So, yeah, it could be the taking that way to me. I look for that type of identification and things.
Yeah, it's sink or swim, right? It's time. You either got to evolve or, you're in the wrong game. And I definitely agree with that. Even with things not as extreme as a pandemic, that's the name of the game. It's like you got to roll with the punches or you're left behind. Fitting to start with that, because we are definitely going to be touching on that. That'll be a great theme to hold on to for the episode. But that's good to hear that this hasn't really affected. I mean, maybe it has affected your process, but in a way that's pushing you, and that's always good. Always, you're going to move forward.
You're not thinking about quitting multiple times. No. Are you really? Are you really going through it?
Right. That's great. Well, let's stick it to a time before this, like way back. I want to talk about the beginning. I always like to do this with the artists I bring on here. It's always interesting the path that people get or go on to get to here. So, what started catching your interest? Young Cloud here. What, or even before Cloud really? And what started catching your interest into becoming an artist?
Way back. I mean, I could take it way. I can give another open end, but nah, I'll keep it simple. Just listening to like rap for the, like my first like rap album was like Biggie, and I was like, nice. Biggie Ready to Die. And like I remember listening to like Gimme the Loop, and I used to be like, wow, who's this other guy he got in the song? But that's literally him. He's literally rapping to himself, and they're both rapping about a robbery. Just the way, the idea and the storytelling and the vocal inflections Biggie used to give us at on that album, it was like, it just made me feel like, I didn't feel like I could do that. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I can't do this. But then I just kept listening to it. And once I've listened to a bunch of Lil Wayne mixtapes, and it just really solidified, I was just like, wow, nah, anyone can do this if they really craft their skill and hone it and just keep rapping. And then one day they just keep going. And then, like with me, like I always believe you can keep rapping. Now, if you start rapping at whatever age, you're going to be trash. And then, like, each pour you keep going, you'll be just less trash and trash at it. Like, every rapper's not going to show you their first song they ever made, unless that was the most... The only way that happens is there were so many people that were trash around that rapper, they just told him everywhere to avoid. But that's usually not the case. You're usually going to be trash in the beginning, and I definitely was horrible. And then it just keeps going and keeps going. So it's just like, Biggie made me interested, but Lil Wayne made me feel like I could do that too. And then it just was a bunch of trial and error of being trash.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right. Yeah. I can definitely relate to that. Yeah. I try and hide the early stuff as much as I can.
And, of course.
And even, you know, you hear the stuff you made last year, and I think that too. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Why did I do that?
That's like anything, though. Like, I feel like there's not many professions that you'll be like, wow, what was I doing 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And just say, wow, this is amazing. Some of them could be like timeless, and there's some artists I know who love their old discography. I don't. And I don't ever want you to play that. That's death on a snail. If you played my old stuff for me right now, I'd definitely jump. But there's some people that embrace their old discography. It's just how you look at it, because it's just a complicated thing. You're asking yourself to give some content that you thought of, you worked and made, to like a bunch of people you don't know what they were going to say. You have no idea. You just can assume, and hopefully they say things. And hopefully they say whatever is just hopefully they say something that can benefit you in the long run. Even if it's trash, tell me why it's trash.
Right.
It's great. Tell me why. Like, the biggest freaking life decision, the biggest quote I heard was from Big Sean recently. And it was just like, I think it was just on the line of, I can learn a lot more than losses than always winning. So yes. It's just like, just tell me what I can do. If you're going to give me critique, it has to be very valuable critiques, or I'm just going to be like, all right, it's just nowhere I can take this. But yeah, that's pretty much how I think of it.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. It's the losses. That's just tell me where, you know, I'm weak and I got to get stronger. I love that.
Yeah.
So one thing that I was definitely struggling with for a while, this is where I really focused a lot of my energy the past year was, and this is so funny, is knowing who the fuck I am as an artist. Like,
right.
I can write songs that are meaningful and things like that, but it was
right.
Bigger than that. It has to go deeper. And I was with a band, and we searched so hard. And actually, at the end of it, I think was really kind of what tore us apart, is that we all started to realize who we were. And, mm-hmm. And not negatively, we evolved and we had to go separate. But
dude, exactly.
Right.
It's multiple people, multiple creative artistry. Like, I used to think before I started the music, I'm like, how can these bands break up if they're on top? Like, the Eagles and the whatever band. Like, how can they do that? But then I realized, bro, sometimes all that shit doesn't matter. Like, bro, sometimes bands can have the most tragic.
Yeah.
Like, an artist can have the most a successful artist can have the most tragic stories and the most tragic things they come with. You can still talk about people at the end of the day. Take away all the accolades and stuff like that, like Kurt Cobain and any of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's still people at the end of the day, and they're people that's going through some crazy shit to make music.
Right.
That's right. Exactly what I had to do. I had to realize that, and I understand with you finding yourself, because there's been times when I was writing in the beginning, and I was just like, who the fuck am I even writing to? Me? But it was just like, I think the biggest thing about me was just let me say how I can word it. I feel like the biggest thing about me was like trying not to overcomplicate what I'm trying to say, but at the same time, don't dumb it down for what other people want it to be, what the message would be.
Right. Like, hell no.
Yeah, I remember so many people used to be, because I used to just write out of there just like lyrics that it just wouldn't seem on a basic level of where are you trying to go with this? But I know where I'm trying to go with this because I'm the person that wrote it. But it's like, it was just like everyone else would be like, ah, can you kind of make it more of a simpler? And I was just like, eh. Because people can listen to my music and be like, wow, okay, I get it on the basic level. But I write such deeper things inside the basic level. It's just like, I just like to write. I'm always was big on like wordsmith. Like I've always wanted to do different pockets and just do different tempos and like what I talk about with Biggie when he was rapping in two different voices. I always just like I'm not the biggest wordy man. Like I won't, but I know how to like bend words and I like to just do different inflections. Like that's where I get a kick out of rapping. Like if I can make you feel like, wow, he just went to five different pockets and like vocally just changed. Then I'm like, oh yeah. And then I just end them all with different words. That's how I like to kick it. And sometimes people can be like, oh, I just don't get where you're going with it. And then I used to always be like, well, no, let me tell you. Let me map out where I'm going. Mm. But now, dude, in my older age, I'm like, if you don't get it, dude, it's just you'll get it eventually.
catch up, man. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Stick to your vision.
You know how artistic
that
shit is?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, bro, who the fuck wants to know where they're going?
Yeah.
Like, we all say we do, but at the same time, it's up for interpretation. That's what I had to get at. That's like, if we're having a surprise party, and then before you open the door, someone's like, yo, you know the surprise party is behind there, right? Don't be upset. Don't be crazy. It's just like, you sometimes you don't want to know.
Yeah.
You'd rather just create what you think it is, and then go by there. That's how I feel like I would deter that stuff. Like, if an artist is just like, come on, if you want a freaking, it just would be that simple thing. Like, you don't want freaking Prince to explain his whole last album.
Please.
Just come back from the grave. Just do that for us, please, Prince. What was the meaning and imagery? Like, come on. I feel like this is the generation we live now. It's just like, on surface value. And if you don't know the surface value of it, you don't need. Like, artists were supposed to tell you stuff and meaning that you'll come back for and be like, oh.
Right.
But now people just want to do deep dives and be like, I wonder what they're talking about. Let me go look at YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about that.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Committing to the vision. And one thing that a song that comes to mind, you know, you're talking about, you know, Biggie going back and forth with himself is a little different to people, but I think a guilty conscience immediately, and with Dre and Eminem, and I just like I was imagining, how do you pitch that to someone? Or so many of Dre's songs, for that matter. I'm a big Dre fan, but like imagine pitching that, and like it's like you got to be, you know, it probably comes off sounding crazy, you know, like, you know, we're gonna rap back and forth about, you know. You know, basically, you know, really intense battle between making terrible immoral decisions and violence or whatever, and that balance between that. And at the end, they both, you know, end up telling him to do to kill him because they were cheating, right? So it's like, how do you pitch that to a fucking label? And they're like, yeah, let's do that. You know, you just gotta commit to it, and you gotta trust the genius. You know, that's where that shit comes from. You know,
because at the end of the day, it's either going to be trash or it's going to be the new mainstream.
Yeah.
Who was gonna imagine Dre already having to pitch people Eminem, the earlier Eminem, the Cray, the Wilder. Like, imagine that pitch, and nobody wanted to see that pitch. Eminem went everywhere. And nobody was like, I don't see the vision in that. And that's the same thing with Drake. Drake went everywhere, too. And people were like, I don't see. He wasn't rapping like this before. Mm. If you don't understand, like, what it could be, you'll never. That's how I feel about it, bro. If it's either you're going to make it to another level or that just will come mainstream. Now it's how it goes. It's just the norm.
Right.
Something's always got to be cutting edge the first time.
Yeah.
And then that's when it's overly mainstream now.
Yeah.
But something has to be like, oh, shit, this is breaking new boundaries. And then eventually we're just like, okay, we know this boundary now. Like, you feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not setting a trend, you're following. And who the fuck's doing, who wants to do that?
Exactly.
That's shit. And, you know, you bring up Drake. I was going to wait later to talk about this, but, you know, it's just kind of happening perfectly. So, man, you know, say what you, the people who questioned Drake are got to be just feeling like such idiots, not only because of what he has now, but, man, he's talking, I was reading articles on this a while back, and talking about going independent and how much gravity that would take and it would destroy basically the music economy because he's so powerful and has generated such a pull as an independent artist. It's like, I mean, and that's committing to your vision. That's not caring. That's doing, you know, pushing forward. That's, I love that. You know?
I've seen that article too about if Drake went independent.
Yeah.
But I definitely know Drake will never go independent. It's like, Drake is probably the biggest powerhouse there is.
Yeah.
In musical time. And being a big powerhouse like that, there's probably 55,000 hands in his share of who Drake is. There's probably so many, like, fuck family asking you for money and things like that. How about 55 business partners? All for the same. Drake can probably have that thought. Yo, it would be crazy if I went independent. But Drake probably has 55 partners that's like, ha! And then, mind you, Lucian Grange literally was like, Drake has a blank check. Yeah, when the freaking head of Universal, the parent label of you, wherever you're at, says he doesn't even have to have a butt. Drake wouldn't do that for. I mean, he would make more money independent, but it's so many players involved in Drake's career.
Yeah,
it's so many players. It would just be like, they'll be like, ha ha. At the same time, bro, I think Drake still gets the most money, even though I feel like so many people have their hands in his pockets. He just still gets the most money still because he was signing a Birdman and Birdman was just the ultimate in never paying. He's just like, I don't feel like it. But Drake will always, I don't feel like, eh. But Drake will always get the most money because, bro, when you're the top selling artist, pop, shares don't matter. Like, that, all that doesn't matter. You want this amount of money, it doesn't matter. He just immediately does it. He just devilishly always ends up on top.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, every time he doubt him, he's just got another one in his pocket. It's his fuck. Like you said, logistically, God, there's a million hands in that probably. But the hypothetical, that would be so great. Just if he could, mm-hmm. just to watch the whole thing melt. You know, I think the industry's kind of had things wrong for a long time now.
Oh, of course. A lot of rappers are coming up now, like around this time, and telling like their gripes with things. And oh man, Def Jam is like, I mean, who cares if this whoever hears this, unless I just get shot. And just like Def Jam did it, but dude, bro, I just gotta go. Def Jam was just the weirdest label out of every label probably is trash to a certain extent, but Def Jam, dude, like Logic couldn't get his budget for his friends. His friends would call him during a table and they'd be like, yo, the budget never cleared. But dude, there's so many freaking trips and things like that. Logic, yeah, and Logic was like, I never even got paid from Def Jam, but now you can't even give my friends, like, that worked with me on my last album, their cuts. And Logic's performed. Logic did sell. Say what you want about Logic, he still will get the numbers. And then freaking Big Sean talked about him signing for $15,000. Granted, back in that time, you never know exactly what the label is accomplishing and doing for. You just know that you just see the artist being successful at the end, maybe or maybe not. But $15,000, and I think he still gave half of his stuff, half of his rights to Kanye West. I'm sure he'll explain more about it later. It's just a time like, it just wasn't the same back then. Because now you can just blow up or rap on YouTube. You can keep that steady go. You can people don't have to lean on the label. The label will help you blow up, and that'll be a big thing to get you to another level. But sometimes people can be on the same level to live. how much do you really need to live? It's just
right.
how much you believe in yourself to do right now. How much work do you need to do right now? Because labels don't have to always come in and just high wire your career. You can come to labels with an already set to go career, and they just play their shadows. You feel me? But it's all about making money. You're literally going to a business that's supposed to screw you over. Like, we see so many DMX can't buy back his masters, and he overperformed. There's so many stories. There's so many instances of, like, just, nah, we're not going to do that. Kanye West supposedly can't buy back all his masters, supposedly. It's just a lot of smoking mirrors on what's really real and what's not. Until you're actually involved in it, you can't. And Def Jam's been playing hot potatoes with CEOs, like, for forever. Def Jam, like, I think Eminem's manager was once it. It's just like, you got to really look at beyond, like, whatever offer they give you, depending on how popping you are, and just see, like, huh, there's always a switching CEO, like, every Friday.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't, yeah, you feel me? It's just always, like, you just got to look at, like, it just can't be about the money and the cat advance. And people don't realize that advance is never yours. That advance is just a loan shark. It's like a big pawn shop.
Worst loan ever.
And instead of you going, yeah. And instead of you going in there and trading like some gold or some shoes, you're trading your art. Maybe you'll get it, and maybe you'll work it. And let's not even get into the price of a stream.
Right. Oh,
I didn't know it. Yeah.
I have
come on.
Just nah. That I've given up. You know, I've long given up on the label model, and I've heard so many stories like that, and I wasn't even aware of some of those, and I'm not surprised at all. You know, I've kind of made my judgment on that, and what I like seeing though is the opportunities that artists have to do it on their own. I'm not just talking about people who make it big, you know, like independent, but like in the middle ground area. I mean, I know that's not like the idea that people kind of live on, but the idea to me of being able to be self-made and own everything I have and have a really nice following and be able to play shows.
Dude,
so like, dude, I'm good. And that's there.
Dude, there's so many. There's a lot of freaking just regular artists, they're just like, oh, I don't have to have a 9-to-5. I could just go to venue B, venue A. Obviously not right now, but we're talking about a different time, a simpler time. Go to venue B, venue A, get their little show money. That's it. That's their living. They probably have their traction of fans. They promote it to their traction of fans. And they just scale, but they don't have to scale. They don't have to do Madison Square Garden next week. But at the same time, they're not freaking homeless and missing a meal if you know your business. But, dude, what I had to learn, bro, being an artist, it's way more about your business than music ever could be. It's just like, you can have a hot song, but it's okay. What's your promoted marketing? Okay. Now, do you have your even set up? Are you even set? There's so many artists that really aren't set up for a million people to look at them. I looked at something from Kato. He's a producer. He was just like, bro, what if a million people clicked on your shit right now? Or do you even have the setup, the fucking setup basics for them? Do you have your online fucking shop for them? Do you have anything? Do you have your music even certified and ready to go if a million people click? So it's partially is like, oh, no, I was waiting on a label to pick me up. If a label's doing all that, they're going to fuck you. But it's just like, it's going to be a rightful fucking. I don't know. But it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, we're way
fuck
past that territory. I'll let
fuck
you sleep
it
out.
No, we can curse.
Rightful. But it's like, it's just like, if you want the label to come and pick up everything for you and clean your curb, you're going to have to pay someone to clean it. So that's what I'm saying. But if you want to actually go through the song trust, go through the BMI, there's ways you can do it on your own and be self-sufficient. And then it's just with anything else in this world. You can either do it yourself and learn it, or you can pay someone else to do it for you.
Who wants to do that?
Someone's going
to
get paid. Yeah, and someone's going to get paid practically 30 or 50% of your workings. But, the trade-off.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about the other part of the industry that I wanted to touch on is, and this is I think it's super important to talk about, is not putting people into boxes. And there's a multitude of reasons people do that. Some a lot worse than others. But I think a lot of that has to do, and I'll just be straightforward. A great example is, let's talk about Tyler, the Creator, and Igor, right? I heard you talking about it once while we were in the studio, actually, and that's what kind of made me, and I hadn't listened to the album. Last thing I heard by, Tyler, the Creator, because I honestly don't listen to him that much, but, last things I heard by him was like when he's like Yonkers, like way back, and Odd Future. So, I wasn't really familiar with the album, but, after I kind of heard what happened and I started to look into it and I listened to what he had to say after, and, I started to kind of look more into this myself, and I was really disappointed, I totally understood what he was trying to say, and for the people who don't know, he won Best Rap Album. Tyler, Creator, won Best Rap Album for Igor, which is, Cloud, would you call that rap album?
It's not a rap album at all. It has rap elements to it, but it was Urban Best Rap Album, and it was just totally a freaking misread of the whole room. And he says it himself. He's like, I don't see this as a rap album at all.
Right. Yeah. And if for anyone who's, goes and listen to it, it's not. Like, it's just obviously not. And so that's what we're talking about here is like, come on, let's be real. First of all, let's fucking drop the word urban, which is like, just doesn't make any fucking, it's offensive, really.
It's such a mayonnaise term. It's ridiculous. Like, what is urban? Like, I try to figure out so many times, like, what's urban? Like, what is that supposed to mean? But I mean, I don't know. It's in different genres too. Don't get me wrong. It's like urban country and things like that, but it's just like, I don't, pertaining to rap Keith and urban. Hip-hop, what is urban?
right yeah, it's nothing. It's so that's outdated, and it's limiting, and he deserves, I think artists deserve recognition for pushing the boundaries. Don't just box people,
I can play devil's advocate, though. What would you even put that category in for that album, though, if it's not rap?
Well, that's so now we're on right. Now we're kind of on the next philosophical kind of part of how the music is changing. Exactly. Is that the genres are fluid now. That's what they're becoming. So what then? What do you do? Do you just take the genres out and non-specific, or is it just best album, right? Or
yeah.
It's interesting, especially now, we're happy to see, there's definitely more representation from, it's not just male, female, there's other, we're bringing in, and rightly so, recognizing trans artists, and, there's still more to be done with that, of course, but, how does that have to change? We need to find a way for people to be recognized, in my opinion. That's my opinion on that. So what do you think, it's great. This is one thing I wanted to ask you is like, what do you think, how does the industry need to respond if they want to kind of catch up with the wave that's happening, how we're changing before they become dinosaurs, or is it too late? Do we just have to burn this whole shit down and come up with something new?
I mean, at the end of the day, you can't kick the creators out their game. That's what I feel, because at the end of the day, who made the stream this mount? Who's the one that ushers in? Granted, you don't need gatekeepers, you don't need people. You're literally, only thing that it is now is that people can tell you that they're stars and you just go find them. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the music industry, it's never going to be a time when that's not, because they're always going to adapt. Like when streaming came out, they was like, oh, how can we, okay, we're going to own playlists that just have goo gobs of people.
Right.
If you're not on the top of this playlist, you're literally irrelevant.
Yeah.
You're just nothing, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the playlist game. That's
bro, The labels always do. If we go right now, we're just like, Frisbees is it. The labels will find a way to be like, bro, we got the biggest Frisbee tower in the city. We're going to have the biggest Frisbee tower in the land. Like, it's just hard to beat somebody at their game when it's their game, when they create the game.
They make the rules. They yeah, make the game.
When they make the rules, when they created the whole format, it's not like you're going to be Yu-Gi-Oh! If the person that created the cards were made before Yu-Gi-Oh! You feel me? It's only so many chances.
They are Exodia, you know? Yeah, you like, summoned them.
Yeah, the cards were made before the Pharaoh. So there had to be someone that was like, yeah, nah, I created this before you got here. Like, there has to be someone that made chess, and you think that person knows how to play chess before anyone started doing tournaments for chess. They made the stream. Who told the industry that a stream is worth 0000000001? Like, they did that. They're like, yo, this is the best profit for us. Like, you feel me? It probably wasn't them directly, but at the end of the day,
they had influence.
Had influence, and they know how to infiltrate. There's nothing that's in the industry that they haven't already infiltrated and already brought back to their side.
Right.
You feel me? It's just hard to beat that. If you don't, it's just unknowledgeable. It's like 15 Bowsers, and you're just like two Marios. It's like, how? how are you going to do that? And they all got every one of your women, every one of your Peach, or whichever
right.
it was. It's like, yeah, I can't beat that. They already got her before you even woke up. She's been got. it's just hard to beat that. And I'm not saying it's a crazy odds, but it's like, you're never going to defeat that. You're never going to defeat that. If it's a zombie, you can kill that zombie, but you don't know where that other person, like, you never know what that other person's been around. Like coronavirus, you try and lock us up for 2 weeks, but you know how many people a person could have been in contact with for 2 weeks?
Right.
And they didn't even know, and this is only before they even knew. So it's just, that's the way the industry is. The industry is a freaking disease, but a good disease, but then still the disease. And then maybe if you don't get killed from the disease, you'll build up an immunity, but it's always going to be there.
Yeah, necessary evil. The necessary evil.
It's so fucked up. There's artists that lie, that say they're either, oh, I didn't get signed yet, and they lie about being signed, and then they'll officially announce it like months later when they know they've been signed. Or they'll never tell you that they're signed. They'll just be like, nah, bro, I've been organically doing this. And then you'll
That's
be
so
like,
weird. Why? I don't even understand that. It's so weird.
It's the underdog mentality.
That's so funny. It's the underdog mentality.
Would you rather support someone that you've seen grow and seen climb like in front of you? Or would you rather support someone who just got there just by placing in label tricks?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I feel like you're going to be able to tell. I feel like, you know.
You can tell whose industry plant is, but I know for a fact you can't tell every industry plant.
Of course, right.
That's all it is.
Yeah, so the necessary evil, but we got to play the game, right? But we said at the beginning, it's about evolving. You know, if you're not learning how to play, I mean, not to drop cliche, it's a dog-eat-dog world out here. You know, it's a music business for a reason. That's why it's called that. You know, you got to have the sense. So you got to learn to play the game. You got to get yours when you can. Music.
Exactly. So, you got to play the game.
Yeah, but no one wants to work most of the time. Or learn, more importantly.
Exactly. It's just literally like, bro, if you don't get fucked over so bad, you won. Congrats. That's it. You made it out. It's pretty much that's it. If you're going to get screwed, like you're literally stepping into a business with a business, a industry, which the whole model is, we're going to fuck you somehow. Either the back end or the front end, buddy. But either way.
No Vaseline.
Yeah, you're getting it. It's either you want it now, just like when your parents were just like, yo, you want to get whipped now? Or like, you feel me? You're going to get this whooping. It's coming. But I'll give you a little bit of spontaneity. You won't know when it's exactly coming. But I'm going to whip that ass. That's pretty much how they are, bro. They're just
accept it.
Say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
That's a dark, you know, we've definitely pointed out the dark cloud that happens to be there, but let's, no pun intended, let's leave it with some sun, you know, a light on the horizon and a little bit of breath of fresh air. Let's talk about your upcoming releases, man. I know you're working on something. What you got stuff we should have an eye out on?
I got a few things coming, like, and a few things in the works. Like, now I'm really just readjusting, like, how I want to do it. Like, just really more packaging of it. Because I've always had just the songs and the good, but I feel like it's just got to be packaged more. And I'm just going to focus and, like, synthesize all these extra words and just, like, put it down into something just so easily digestible. But it's still something that I can truly be like, I want to put my name to. I'm a Virgo. So it's like, I'll keep going and be like, nah, this isn't ready. Cut this. Like, it'll be like a whole Kanye perspective on it every 5 seconds. Like, it's just like, nah, I feel like I could do this a little bit better. I'm that type of person in the studio. I'm just like, I need to do this 5 takes. And then I'm going to listen to each take. And I probably just said the ending word a little differently on each. I'd be like, don't like that. Like, that's how I always been. It's a curse and a blessing, but at the same time,
right,
it's got to be packaged. So yeah, I got things coming. I really want to just get to a spot where I just have like so much. I just have so much in the arsenal. I could just consistently, like, so much stuff I'm already signed off on, and I just drop, bam, bam. That's it. Just a continuation.
Dude, that's all right. All right, man. Well, dude, I hope that's the case, man. I hope to see just flooded with good stuff. And in the meantime, make sure, you know, listeners, if you haven't, go check them out. One, I'm a big fan for sure of Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. I've already told you that before, but oh, man, that hook, it's just stuck in my head for days. But then also the new one, Red Roof Freestyle, right? I was digging that too. That sounded great. That was tight. So everyone go check it out. Go check out the new music. And where can we find you, man?
Every platform, Cloud Master Price. Cloud Master is one word, then Price is after. On Instagram, Cloud Master P813. Pretty much everywhere right now. And that's pretty much my locations.
Hell yeah. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it. Everyone go check him out. Good Mafal, incredible artist, big, big fan.
Yes, sir.
And I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
No problem, man.
Yeah, and thanks for, again, we got pretty honest here about some stuff. I was really happy with that. I appreciate, you know, the insight, man. This was cool. Good conversation, always.
Anytime, bro. Anytime.
Awesome. All right, well, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Cloudmaster Price here.
Yeah.
Really, really was awesome. So make sure to go check him out. And we will see you next time. Panda Paws out.
Appreciate. Yeah.